Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you all so much for this beautiful day you've blessed us with and the awesome opportunity to be able to get back in your word. Help us now as we continue our studies. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z, beginning the study here on the word grudge. It's G-R-U-D-G-E, grudge. Speaking of holding a grudge against someone, having a heart of unforgiveness for someone, as we can get into the scriptures here in Leviticus chapter 19 in verse 18, a commandment coming here, which reads, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." Pretty clear and simple there. Not to bear a grudge. And we can carry this over to Proverbs. In Proverbs 20, in verse 22, "Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee." We are not supposed to seek vengeance. You seek vengeance, or you want a little payback when you're holding a grudge against someone. And not supposed to do such things. Not supposed to have those grudges or hold grudges against someone. And then seek a way to have some payback. But it doesn't profit us, because then we go contrary to the will of the Lord. And over in Proverbs 24, verse 29, "Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work." Once again, not supposed to do that. It's like, okay, he did that to me, so I'm going to do it back. Payback. He badmouthed me, so I'm going to badmouth him. He hit me, so I'm going to hit him. That's just not in the will of the Lord. Not supposed to hold a grudge. And not supposed to wish or want or desire bad things to happen to someone, even an entire people group. We have an awesome example of someone holding a grudge and having to go through quite an experience to learn that you're not supposed to hold a grudge against someone, and that we are supposed to be forgiving and to listen to the directions of the Lord. And especially listen when the Lord tells you to do something, even when it is something that would benefit someone whom you would consider an enemy. So let's look at such an incident and such a man who had a grudge. Speaking of Jonah, who had a grudge against the Ninevites, because the Ninevites had become quite a rambunctious bunch and had gone around ransacking communities and cities and towns and people and killing people and stealing stuff, and had quite a horrible reputation. Jonah knew about this reputation, and apparently someone close to him had experienced some of the evil perpetrated upon them by the Ninevites. So he didn't want anything to do with helping the Ninevites. So when the Lord gave Jonah the assignment to go to spread a message or to share a message to the Ninevites, he wasn't interested in doing it. Let's look at that account as we see in the book of Jonah. As it reads, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Because Jonah didn't want to go do what the Lord wanted him to do. He didn't want to preach anything to the Ninevites that would possibly give them an opportunity of redemption. Verse 4. "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him, and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if it so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, and that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is come upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The winds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So Jonah came to his senses while he was in that horrible situation there, and reached out to the Lord, prayed to the Lord, asked for that mercy, and he brought him up out of that, as we see here. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. That's how big it was. It would take you 3 days to walk from one end of it to the other. So what we're seeing here is Jonah's finally willing to do what he was told to do. So he's going to do it. But he still has within him that heart of unforgiveness, that grudge. But he's grudgingly going ahead and doing what he's supposed to be doing. We see how it unfolds for him. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Now you would think that would please Jonah, that these folks have repented. They are humbling themselves. They're going to be praying for mercy. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. They prayed for mercy. They turned away from the evil. And you would think Jonah would be pleased about that, that Jonah would be happy that the preaching that he had done had actually had an effect on someone, and that they aren't going to be destroyed. But like I said, he was still holding in his heart contentment for these people, a grudge against these people. He didn't think they deserved to be saved from that, as we see him telling it here. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. That's how upset Jonah got over this repentance of his enemy. He didn't want to go help them. And he was hoping that the things that he was saying, that they would ignore, and that the Lord could wipe them out. But when they repented of that, he felt cheated. He was hoping to see them have to suffer judgment. So we got to look at our lives, what Jonah was going through there. We need to share the gospel, spread the good news, shine the light in the dark world, even unto people and individuals that we think have done such evil things that they should just wind up in hell. We shouldn't have such a grudge against people, because this is an excellent example here of what Jonah went through, that he didn't do what the Lord told him to do, and he had to pay a horrible price for that experience of being in that great fish's belly for those 3 days. But the Lord brought him up out of that. And then he yielded to the will of the Lord and did what the Lord wanted him to do, spread that opportunity of repentance to them. They repented. But then he didn't have the right attitude. We have to have the right attitude through all of it. Rejoice when our enemy get saved. Rejoice when the Lord blesses our enemies because of their repentance and their turning to Him. Not feel jealous or like Jonah, right to the point where he just wished he was dead, because he hated the fact that these people that he didn't like were now having been given forgiveness. Then said the Lord, Doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made he him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. See, he's still thinking, well, maybe this is just a first show, and they won't truly repent, and they'll go back into the evil, and then the Lord will destroy them, and I'll get to witness it. So that's kind of what you might think Jonah was pondering there. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." And God said to Jonah, "Dost thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither mayst it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" And the account ends there. So we see no other records of Jonah having been given the opportunity to work a great work for the Lord. He was given this opportunity, and he did it grudgingly, and he did it with malice, actually. He was hoping that the Lord was going to wipe those folks out, even after delivering the message. So we can see that he didn't have the right heart. Even through this entire experience, he apparently didn't learn much of a lesson, because we have no other record of Jonah doing any other work for the Lord. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. We don't have that record. But we got to wonder, in our own lives, are there things that we are missing out on? Are there opportunities to serve the Lord that we're missing out on because we have in our hearts an unforgiveness for someone? And that is hindering our relationship with the Lord. That is causing us to lose rewards and blessings that we could have if we would get rid of that and have true forgiveness in our heart. We see over in the Gospels, in the record of Matthew, a model prayer, as it says, "After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." The model prayer found there in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, memorized and quoted by a lot of people, but do they really look at what it's saying when it comes to in verse 12? "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Note, as we forgive our debtors, not whether or not we forgive our debtors. Because then he goes on teaching us in verses 14 and 15 about forgiveness. "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Was that what happened to Jonah? Was that why we don't see any more record of Jonah working for the Lord or having any record of his life after that? Did he, through that whole experience, still hold that heart of unforgiveness? Did he still have a grudge against Nineveh? Maybe. Because the Lord specifically tells us right here, "If ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And that's some serious stuff. To go to judgment with an unforgiving sin, that's going to cost you. It's going to cost you greatly. This is repeated over in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. "And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." Difficult? Yes. It's difficult to be forgiving sometimes, especially when somebody has wronged you personally. someone that you cared about or someone you thought you could trust who then comes up against you, that's horrible. To abuse you in some way, to hurt you in some way, that's a terrible thing to experience. But we have the awesome example that the Lord gives us in Luke chapter 23. As the Lord is being crucified, after he's then been arrested and taken in by Herod and Pilate and beaten and tortured and horribly mistreated, ridiculed, and that crown of thorns on his head, and beat him with a reed. They whipped him with a cat of nine tails, which shredded his back. Horrible things they've already done to him. And then they crucify him in Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. So right there, the Lord gave us the awesome example of how we need to respond. When someone has wronged us, we need to ask the Lord to forgive them, as well as we need to forgive them. And we have an awesome example of a young man that took this to heart and followed through with it. Stephen was an awesome fellow. He was spreading the gospel. He was preaching an awesome message to a bunch of Jews, but they didn't want to hear it. They rejected it, and he could tell that they were rejecting it. They were totally contrary to the wondrous words that he has just told them. And he says to them, Stephen speaking to the Jews in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it? When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stoned him to death. He could have had that bitter attitude that Jonah had and prayed, Lord, kill them all. No, he didn't do that. He took the example that Jesus Christ gave us on the cross, where he asked the Lord not to lay that sin upon them. And he did the same thing right here. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Fell asleep. It's talked about his physical death there. So he didn't hold a grudge. He told it like it was. They didn't like hearing it. They come upon him, hit him, and even were biting him, because that's what it's speaking of, gnashing on him with their teeth, and then eventually stoned him to death. But no evil in the heart of Stephen, no unforgiveness, no grudge, and a horrible death to be stoned, to have stones thrown at you till it kills you. terrible, terrible way to die. But through that whole process, he showed a forgiving heart, a love for others, even when they hated him. As we need to take that example and follow through with that same example and always be so loving that we even love those that are seeking to destroy us, even to love those that are in the midst of destroying us, as we see with Stephen. Not to hold a grudge against someone who has done something evil in the past, like Jonah was doing, but to follow those ordinances that the Lord gave us, all the way back there in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18 again, where it says, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord that love thy neighbor as thyself." Because we see when the Lord was pointing out the two great commandments over in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So we got to have that love. We got to have forgiveness. We have to, because he clearly tells us, like we read in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14 and 15 again, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So don't have a grudge. Be forgiving. Because when you have that grudge, it wears on you. It depresses you, as we read there in Jonah. It depressed Jonah so bad he was wishing he was dead. That's how much of a grudge that he had against the Ninevites. He didn't want to see them saved. He didn't want to see them repented. He didn't want to see the mercy of God being poured upon them. That's why he didn't want to go there. And we see so many examples of this in people's lives where they just get so tore up because they have a hatred or an unforgiveness or a grudge against somebody. And it hurts themselves more than it does the one that they have that feeling toward. So for your own sake, be forgiving. Because if you want forgiveness, you best be forgiving. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, it's awesome the many things you have in here for us to learn. And help us to have that burning desire to dig deep into your word to find the message you want us to have. And help us apply that properly, then turn around and share that as well. And please look at all of us. If there's any unforgiveness within us, show that to us so that we can get that cleaned up and taken care of and be able to be found without spot and blameless come judgment day. Thank you, oh, so much for the many blessings, and we thank you for your mercy that you pour upon us and your forgiveness. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Thank y'all.